When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Welcome back to another lovely episode of The Bald and the Beautiful.
Welcome, everyone. Welcome.
Welcome in. Hope you're having a lovely night.
How have you been going?
That was two different things. That was clapping and sad noise.
Oh, I love that. That's good.
Cover very both 2020 of the bases. Energy. Yeah.
A bittersweet energy to start off our podcast.
And we have a very natural guest for us. One of our favorite people, close friend.
Yep. One of our favorite people in the world. Wow. Also, someone with whom we've had the pleasure of working, who also happens to be, in my humble estimation, one of the best living photographers
on
the planet Earth.
Yeah.
Wow. Yes. Thanks for that.
I'm talking about David LaChapelle. No, just kidding.
Annie Leibovitz is here.
Yeah, buddy. Yes. We have the wonderful Franz.
Franz. So hi. Is it Sony?
It's Sony.
Sony.
The S is silent.
Franz.
Yeah. Zoni. Or if you're Hungarian, it's Csonye.
Csonye.
Yeah. S-Z is a Cs.
So you're, so it's Hungarian is the, yeah. Okay.
Czech and Hungarian.
Czech and Hungarian.
Yeah.
Have you been to Czech Republic?
No. I've been a lot of places, but I haven't been there. I hear that it's a beautiful place, but very sadly run down. It's not like a touristy place that's been upkept. It's like sad.
I went there for the first time earlier this year and right before lockdown, and it's beautiful. The Prague.
Prague
was beautiful,
yeah,
but it was small.
Yeah,
it's very you can walk from one side to the other. And
you hear that, Prague?
Yeah.
Your shit was small,
tiny,
unimpressed,
insignificant.
Now I feel like photographers have this sort of willing identity crisis because it's one of those things where people have probably seen your work, but they see the subject and they don't see you.
Yeah.
So what would people know you from besides us?
Well, welcome to all production. Gosh, the
right.
People
totally.
That make everything are like totally unsung.
100%.
Yeah.
Like Albert, like a lot of my favorite people
brilliant.
Are photographers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's this meditating thing where they just shoot the picture and let the picture be and slip away into the shadows.
Yeah. Yeah. I like doing that, but what was the question? I'm sorry.
How would people, you've shot both of us. What would they know you from?
Yeah. Oh God, that's a lengthy question. I shoot Dita Von Teese a lot. I'm lucky to shoot her. I like shooting drag queens a lot. I think I've been in Los Angeles for about 8 years, and the first person I ever reached out to when I moved here was Devon Green, drag queen.
Drag queen, yep.
Because I saw her, you know, Welcome to My Vagine video, iconic, yes. And I said I have to know her. And the first real drag queen that I shot was Sutan. Maharaja.
Oh yeah. My God, yeah. With the paper and
that
the jewels.
That picture yeah. is so cool.
Thank you for that. Yeah, I was super broke and I was kind of going through like, I just happened super broke, but a whole box of Swarovski crystals. So I was like, what can I do with like paper and crystals? And he was so lovely. I just reached out to him and said, hi, I'm a big nobody. I just moved here. And can I shoot your portrait? And not only can I shoot your portrait, but like, let's do this like finger mustache as the Maharaja. Yeah. And he was like, great. What time do you want me to come over? And so that kind of, you know, kind of every, at least for me, every shoot kind of leads to the next shoot and snowballs. But so that's what I shoot.
I have a million questions, but I don't want to forget to ask such a dumb question, but like, how did you come up with how did your signature look develop? Because you have a style that is very identifiable.
Thanks.
I don't know quite how to describe it though.
And not easily copyable.
Right.
Oh, thank you.
Like it's very, very, very rare, I think, to find somebody working in art, whatever medium it is, to be like, oh, that's this person. You know, yeah. You have a style that's not, it's not derivative. It's not, it doesn't like, it's unique.
Thanks
so,
for that.
But well, how did that happen?
I, I studied illustration, actually. I went to school in San Francisco, and illustration was my major for about 3 years. And it just was kind of a family friend of mine said, hey, why don't you all the elements that you love, lighting and fashion, makeup and making vignettes exist in photography. Why don't you try that? And I was kind of like a fluke. And so I literally all my counselors hated me. I just after 3 years, I was like, well, I'm changing my major. And I just got into film photography, but I never even, I didn't even really do that well in school, because even in film photography, I really had no interest in photography. Like I was layering like three negatives and I was bleaching things. And like, it really was about illustration for me. And, actually my Photoshop professor failed me after 2 years of Photoshop. He said I had an unrealistic, unrealistic view of the program or something, that I would never like be able to use it in a realistic, you know, my final project was like all these bald aliens and whatever. Yeah. And, hello, I'm still photographing bald aliens.
Yeah.
You're so good. I don't deem to like, what can I do that's different? I'm just making what I know how
to
make.
You just do what you do. I mean, I guess that's like the hallmark of any true unique individual, is that you just do your thing and then it is what it is.
Yeah. Right. But I don't look to photographers really. I mean, David LaChapelle was a big one in school that I knew of, obviously Pierre Gilles, two amazing French photographers, but like I didn't really know photographers, but like, you know, Mark Davis or Erte or like these great illustrators, I was like, I want my photography to look like that. So thanks for the compliment.
It's amazing. Yeah. It's really like it has almost a like it's everything sort of a still from a film in a way. It's very like cinematic, I guess.
Yeah, it is. Yeah, very. There's, and I,
Like an environment, like a world.
Yeah, it's a universe. Yes. There's like a, there is, you look at your photographs and you kind of get the sense that there is like a Franz universe.
It's so like Wizard of Oz adjacent in a way, don't you think? You.
And it's very, it's otherworldly, but it's also very flattering.
Like,
because when we were, I was so excited to shoot with you.
Oh yeah, he shot the Red Scare shoot.
So Franz shot the Red Scare shoot, which was so much fun. But the thing is, as a drag queen, I've been getting photographed in drag for about 10 years now or more. And it just is as recently as DragCon a couple years ago.
They'll get the girls.
Sometimes what will happen is a superstar, quote unquote, photographer will come into the drag world and be like, I want to, you know, their interest is peaked and they shoot us. But what they're interested in is texture.
Oh, they want reality.
They want the stark, glare. I mean, they
pan
want
fried.
Pan fried reality, the crispy critter.
Yeah. Well, of course, listen, fuck them, whatever. It was New York Mag. It was 2 years ago, and it was the worst pictures any of us had ever seen in our lives. Yeah. And I hope everybody involved dies. And I think that's very fair. Yeah.
I when they took my picture, I was the freshest. I had just gotten there. It was like 15 minutes after I arrived, and I looked a fucking mess. Because it was just everything. You could see it was like, you know, those mirrors that are like five times magnification.
Oh yeah.
Yeah.
It was
yeah.
like that.
And the way you light to the unretouched, you see it on your monitor and I'm like, this is gonna be a great picture. Oh, if that's the raw. Oh my God.
No. Thanks so much.
And, but so I, the whole point is I knew 100%. I was like, no matter what this motherfucker does, it's going to look fantastic. And that's very rare to have, like, to have that kind of like trust in a person, because like I said, you never know. It's that even, and sometimes it can go the other way where it's like the photo is so badly airbrushed where it literally looks like you're on a t-shirt in Florida. Do you know what I mean?
Like the person was failed in Photoshop class.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Well, I think, and maybe I can speak for a lot of photographers, but I kind of feel, this sounds really philosophical, but whenever I shoot someone, I'm kind of treating it like a self-portrait. I'm shooting people the way I would want to be photographed myself. Mm. And I don't know if this kind of borders, I mean, we have all these terms. Is a photographer an artist? Is an artist a photographer? Are they the same things? Sometimes I think, obviously, we're living in a world that photography is so disposable. It's just in and out, where because maybe I just have a different outlook. My goal is always like, would I hang this picture in my living room? And if I wouldn't, then I don't really have any interest in it. So, you know,
I think that makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
You should. I think it's okay to make something and love it. And I know we're supposed to be like, whatever I did it, I whatever, I'm glad you like it.
Yeah, I did a thing.
You should love what you make, I think.
Yeah, I agree. And that doesn't mean it has to take forever. I used to be in that kind of mindset where I was like, this has to I have to bleed for this to mean something. So I would spend months making these huge sets and it was my whole life. But I think maybe coming to LA, I've learned to you can make something brilliant, in an afternoon. And, and granted that, just like our Red Scare shoot, thank you for saying that. That was that was so much fun.
It
was
relaxed.
It was fun. Do you always enjoy yourself when you're in the process of shooting or working on something, or can it be a slog?
Yeah, this also sounds really prima donna, but I get really exhausted from shoots. I don't know if you, sometimes
that explains the fainting during the shoot. Fainting, you just kept falling to the ground.
I know. Thank God for that.
We had three couches.
Lounge that you placed
on. You kept finding your light while it happened.
Thank you. I also, by the way, this is so weird. I have no hair on my knees, and people are always like, why don't you have hair on your knees? But it's because I really feel just a little circle. You're on your knees so much as a photographer, at least for me. I know that's an insert pun in here, but it's exhausting. You have early call times. Gorgeous. You don't, I'm not using the bathroom all day. You're barely drinking water. You're just so in the zone that after 12 hours of that, when reality snaps back, I'm just on such a high when I shoot that I forget to take care of myself. So
that's, that's a thing. I feel like that's just a thing in general.
Yeah.
I enjoyed myself that day a great deal, but it's
by the way, I was told something very flattering. I was actually by multiple people on set. They said, oh, Katya would never do this for anyone else. The fact that I was like, no, we need more. We need a couple more hours. Let's do this and this. And you kept showing up and you were there. I felt very flattered.
I love when you snatch the pads off and Franz goes, can you go put your legs and ass back on?
You grabbed me at the shoulder. You're like, don't ask that.
She's not going to do that. Our whole career is me. I'm like her secretary. People go, what about you guys doing this? I go, she's never going to do that.
You didn't repad, but you came back and we made you a lovely muumuu and Suspiria.
And we had a fabulous little coda to the day. It was, we did a whole bunch. We did the video at the end of the day and it was fantastic.
Yeah.
But I will say, that was remarkable because that place had no AC.
Oh, yes.
And I was wearing a latex vest.
Yeah.
Or a rubber vest. And so there's moments where I can see the, on the horizon snapping. I don't think I would never have snapped.
Well, sometimes I require people to, and I always tell this to people, I will keep going until I get the shot. And if you are feeling like you need to stop, you need to tell me that because I'll just keep going, so. Yeah, kept going.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of my better days. But communication between a photographer and the person being photographed can be very strange. And one of the things I noticed with you is that you give clear direction, which I really appreciate because sometimes you kind of just, you're in front of the camera and you have no idea what, I can't see myself. I don't know if I look ugly, stupid, whatever.
Yeah.
And it's really
you never look stupid.
Wow. Or ugly. But no, come on. 2 degrees to the left and it's so it's it's kind of hard to
you just need a helpful just move your chin a few inches to the left
and you said exactly that that's very helpful to me rather than fierce. Yeah, fierce, look sexy. What the fuck does that mean?
I would never.
There was this one photo shoot, whatever, it was for Out magazine. And I don't remember the photographer's name, and it was I believe the person, I don't remember the name, but it was they them pronouns. And they were shooting me, and it was natural light from the side, and they were kneeling. And I said,
this isn't working.
I feel like we should flip this way. And I said, I'm worried about all this natural light and the texture in my skin. And they go, oh, don't worry. I'm a master manipulator of light. And I go, okay, Thomas Kincaid, let's reel it back here. That whole shoot, they ended up having to put them all in black and white because I was like, these are nasty.
You can't trust anybody.
I don't trust anybody.
You can't trust anybody, which is
except
is
you.
Why we're, I'm going to cling, my claws are clinging into your side and they're not leaving, because I
when she's dead and we're photographing the body.
You're going to be there at my wake at the open casket.
Next year.
Three months from now. Yeah.
Thanks for that. Well, I mean, you should always have a queer mind on any set. I feel like, not all photographers are created equal. Someone who who does portrait photography, you know, I could never pick up a camera and like go shoot a wedding and like get, you know, I've tried to like catch that moment of like the, and like, I can't do it. But other photographers are great at that and don't know what the hell they're doing in a studio. So, you know, I think, especially when you're shooting anything along the lines of glamour, you know, it's all lighting. So, you know, yeah, there are photographers that do want to see, and they're, you know, I can't believe I'm going to say this, but I'm going to say this. I remember even the Annie Leibovitz shots of RuPaul for Vanity Fair. They were stunning, but they were not necessarily lit in the most flattering way, no, so to speak.
No, not at all.
You
no.
know, and I think that's just the, what each photographer's prerogative about, you know, how fantasy you want to take it, as opposed to like some photographers really do want, you know, and a lot of art buyers in the art world want to see the realism when you
they
want to
see the seams.
They want the tuck. They want the bubble gum on the side of the tuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
And that's a fine. That's yeah. They do.
You know, that's interesting to them.
Do you know how many of those I've retouched,
girl?
What has been the wildest thing you've retouched? Oh, like, what's the nastiest, weirdest, wildest thing?
Because you're really zooming in on people's nether regions.
Yeah. I can't say anyone in specific. Everybody's equally gross. You know
what I mean? Can we, for the people at home, let's recap some of my favorite pictures of you. Obviously, Katya shot me, Devin a bunch of times, right?
I love Devin.
Those Disney shots of Devin.
Yeah, I shot her as Maleficent. She helped me get a contract with Disney.
Incredible. You did a few of Marlo.
Marlo's wonderful, yeah.
And I don't know if she was, who was the one that had the crown of uncut dicks?
Well, that was Marlo. So that was probably the most retouching I've done on a piece. I did a piece called Medusa, and instead of, it started off as a joke. I just said it a bunch of, you know, one great to do a head of penises instead of snakes, and everyone said, that's completely mad, you have to do it. And I had just gotten signed with Disney prior to that, so I was like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do this right now. But Disney, actually, they said whatever you do just in your own private,
just like hide the nipple, like, do it. You know how they hide the nipple? Just like hide the piss slit. The dick.
Oh no, it was very. There was a lot of those, but I worked with them. Marlo was the face of that, and then a lovely gentleman who shall not be named was the penises for that, and that took a long time because they
did you shoot all the dicks individually?
Like, I mean, they were all him.
Yeah, right.
And
sure.
Fortunately, I knew him on a romantic level, so the shoot was a little bit more, you know.
Oh, we know what it was, you fucking whore. We know what.
Well, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, you know.
We know what it was.
I enjoy my work very much.
Yeah,
and
that explained why you kept touching me during our. No, I'm just kidding. That is not a joke. Yeah, no. Not in 2020.
Yeah, I know.
Well,
who else? I'm trying to think of all my favorite. Gigi, that Gigi with the birds.
Oh, she's yeah.
Oh my, Gigi, gorgeous.
That was, yeah. Sometimes people don't. That's another thing that's interesting. I find with people that I think most people that are used to being shot are used to producing a lot of content. We need this many outfits, get the shot, you know, turn out so we have lots of options. Whereas when I'm doing a piece like that, it's like, you're going to spend 8 hours in hair and makeup, and then I'm going to shoot you for a half an hour, and we're going to get one shot, and that's it.
That's my dream.
You know, I love
my favorite photographers have all done that.
Mm-hmm. Which amazing.
You. I loved shooting with you. And then Albert.
Yeah.
And then you guys know Adam from Chicago. He shoots a lot of the Queens, or he used to.
What's his last name?
It's like Omane.
O-U-A-H-A-M-E or something like that.
Yes. Yeah.
He's like, you know, he'll go in on that retouching.
Yeah.
But he shoots for like 20 minutes and he gets it. And it was always, to me, when you hear that number of clicks keeps going up, you start to realize that the person doesn't know what they're looking for.
It's a waste too. I never understand photographers that, I mean, I guess unless you're shooting motion where you're just click trying to get the right one, it's like, why? Yeah. I come from the school of film where, like, if you're shooting medium format film, like, you've got 10 shots and that 10 shots just cost you $500 for, you know, so like, get the shot. Don't fuddly duddly with stuff, like, you know, set up. But the one with Gigi actually took, I should take that back, because, you know, we were shooting with one bird named Peaky, which I had to shoot in multiple positions all around her and then composite it all together. And fun fact, the woman who owned that Peaky, was the woman who played Samara in The Ring.
You're kidding.
She was the contortionist. And so she has this pet bird. So it was a great shoot. And the bird was amazing. And like literally was like a cat. Like you could hold it and loved Gigi and talked to you and would like snuggle into your neck. And it totally changed. I'm a little scared of birds because they are dinosaurs. But
I love birds.
Yeah. Oh, I love birds. They're gorgeous. But, you know, they'll bite your ear off.
Yeah. They'll peck your eyes out.
Yeah. You don't think a dog will kill you? Like,
absolutely.
They're not
but
more
I know
dangerous
that.
Than...
I count on it, in fact. I don't have any illusions about that.
Next shoot, I'm putting dogs all over your shoulders.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Dead dogs.
Yes.
Yeah.
Perfect.
Dead dogs.
Oh, my God.
Can I ask, aside, who's, like, your favorite person you've gotten to shoot where you're like, this is, like, the stuff that I dreamed about doing?
Wow. Well, I still have a list of people that I really...
Who's your
wish
list? Yeah, who's on the list? Let's put
I'm
it on
sure they flattered.
Vision board it.
Angelica Houston.
Come on. Yeah.
Until I was close to shooting her once. I'm still going to try.
Just Tilda Swinton. I was going to say,
Tilda Swinton, I feel like was... You
oh,
have
I'd
to
love
shoot her.
To shoot Tilda.
You
yeah.
got to.
Yeah.
Oh, she God. Has that like...
Oh, I mean, talk about alien, bald
oh,
alien.
Talk about, like, she always looks like
National
she's,
Geographic.
It's the last photo of her seen alive.
Yeah, I love that. Yeah. It's gorgeous. Yeah. But,
which is why you love shooting
her. Yes. I do, yeah, wide eyes. But, I mean, I would love to shoot, like, Gaga. And, you know, I like shooting. I'm not necessarily after shooting, like, what's the biggest celebrity I can shoot? That's not really what it's about for me. It's more about, like, who can I transform the most? And usually... I like that process a lot of like, let's take you out of your element completely. And I know everyone's heard it. Like, let's do something totally different that you've never done. But I really like aspire to do that with every shoot that I do. Yeah. And sometimes it's got me in trouble. I've pushed people a little too far out of their comfort zone and they don't know how to react to the photos in the end. It's too much for them.
Really?
So
have you had like a person who's like really unhappy with the
It was me and I don't want to talk about it.
I've really, well, to different degrees. I mean, for the most part, everyone's always even, you know, people are, I'm really grateful that the majority of people that I've shot always are really happy with their images. Yeah. Sometimes people that I've shot will be, you know, will give me a list of mile long of like, I love it, but like, please fix this, which I'm always happy to do. Sure. There was only one person that I shot, which I shall not name her name. But it was, yes. And it was horrifyingly
bad.
We just
mouthed the word Susan Boyle. Sorry about that. It was Susan
Boyle. I would love to shoot her.
Really?
And it was, and I think, you know, if without fluffing my own feathers, I thought the images turned out gorgeous and everyone that saw the images said that she had never looked better. But I think it was just too far out of
the comfort zone,
her comfort zone, how she's used to being seen. And that was a kind of an ugly story because instead of just politely saying these aren't quite what I wanted, she really kind of degraded me.
You're kidding.
Yeah, it was really bad. It was like really, really bad. It took me a long time to get over that. And you think that when you shoot people that have been in the industry for so long that they would have decorum and courtesy, but I didn't.
Or that they've been through something like that before and they have approach it with a bit of tact.
Yeah.
A portrait with someone like you is also so intimate. So I'm sure for a lot of people, it just is. How is it not vulnerable? And how is it not, you know?
For that,
well,
yeah.
I mean, I had a similar situation where I remember, you know, after our shots were done and they were rolling out, I was like,
you said sharts.
Yeah, after our shots were done.
We have to stop and mention that you just said after I sharted on your shoot. Remember when I farted wet shit all over the floor at our shoot?
No.
She didn't say anything.
Not
he
glamour.
Didn't even mention it.
Well,
you quietly cleaned it up yourself.
I did.
Which I thought was really impressive.
Thank you very
and
much.
Then, no, but when the images came out, I said, aren't you going to retouch them at all? And you said, no, they need to stay raw. I'm not going to retouch these images. We need to show you people as you really are. And then those were the images that people saw. No Photoshop or
it's
anything.
True. Yeah. In fact, I added wrinkles and warts to the finished one.
That took me on a journey. I went, did we really not retouch those? I didn't realize you were being serious.
Oh, no. The retouching, I think, is the most fun part. And retouching's been around forever. I really have, like, over the years, have had to, like, wade through the retouching pool because it's something that is so, people get so opinionated about retouching.
And people love this whole, and now that the democratization of retouching is like through Facetune and everybody
10-year-olds retouched. You know what I mean? Yeah.
I mean, I don't know any drag queens who would throw up an image without a filter or some kind of Facetune thing besides you.
I do it a lot. But I wear so much makeup that I know that if I light it like straight on, it is what it is.
Yeah.
And as long as the skin texture isn't like being brought out, like I can live with it.
Yeah, yeah. What do you think about, I mean, I'm always fascinated by this like, oh, it's like you have to
pull the wool over people's eyes, like when you're retouching your own images, that you can't let anybody know, like, that you've done, like, you've just come. Yeah. There's like a shameful element of it. It's like, well, especially with drag. It's,
well, that's
like
a lot
drag.
Of times too why I don't allow people to see the images while we're shooting, because people okay. will get in their head and they'll lose the goal of the shoot. They'll just immediately go, oh God, I need to change this. And they won't just give me what I need and let yeah. me worry about really? That later. Yeah. But I mean, retouching's been around forever. Ansel Adams retouched his work. And I mean, every shot you've ever seen of Marilyn Monroe, they would bleach their negatives and you know, physically, you know, that's where the term airbrushing comes. You'd physically airbrush your work with paint. And so I kind of get up in arms a lot about the debate of, like, you know, in order.
Thomas Edison.
Thomas Edison.
Yeah, famously wore a shape tape concealer at all times.
Exactly. I mean. Well, yeah. I mean, the idea of idealizing art has been around forever since the Egyptians. So I don't know what just got me triggered about all of this.
It's not unlike
the idea of, like, oh, this is retouched. Yeah. You retouched this.
But if you're going to be, it's not real.
If you're going to be anti-retouch, you also have to be anti hair and makeup.
Yeah. And light.
Clothing.
Shit.
Lighting.
Yeah. Yeah. None of that's natural.
What are we doing?
Well, what do you think about, like, taking out a leg? You know, like, sometimes on the, it's always funny to see, like, you know, in Vogue or whatever, where they're like, they'll take the scale out of something, or they'll just, like, whittle down somebody's arm to, like, a bone, or, and it's just, like, kind of insane that way. But I guess on the cover of Vogue, it's probably more like, it's less about fantasy and more about reality, although I could be wrong about that.
I wish it was back to fantasy.
I know.
I don't know.
Well, you're really towing the line as far as, like,
would you do a Vogue cover?
Very high fantasy.
In a minute. That'd be amazing.
Who would be on your Vogue cover?
Oh, God. Probably somebody already dead. I mean...
I mean, like, Vogue would pay for the exhuming of the corpse
of Lucille Ball. If I could shoot Lucy, that would be
okay.
That's like the dream. You know what I mean?
What about a man? Who's your dead man?
Oh,
living. So let's say two men, living and dead. Who's your,
like, a Vincent Price? I mean, I live for that. Like, I thought he was him in his youth. If you ever look a picture of Vincent Price young, damn,
really?
Gorgeous. Yeah,
I'm gonna look that up.
While you guys look that up, we're gonna take a break.
Let's take a break.
And we're back.
And we're back. Vincent Price, young Vincent Price was a hottie. Who would be your living male cover guy?
Oh no, I'm so bad at this. I don't know who's beautiful.
Who's beautiful? Are you paying attention to the people who are alive right now?
Not really.
No, I don't think so.
I'm not either. I never know what anything is.
Yeah, I mean, who's a who do you think I should shoot?
You know, you would be really good with Timothée Chalamet.
Oh,
Timothée Chalamet.
Yeah, because he's got that. I feel like you could insert him into some kind of, like, dandy. He could, or Harry Styles.
I'd love to shoot Harry Styles. Yeah. You know who I'd love to shoot? Jonathan Taylor Thomas.
JTT.
Childhood crush. Someone asked me that ages ago. They were like, "Who from your past, like, heartthrob, would you shoot?" But he's gone. He's disappeared.
He's dead.
Oh no! I don't think he's departed. I hope he's not
dead. This life.
No, he's just. I don't know where to find him. But, like, you know, I'd want to.
I don't
shoot,
know
like,
where to find
most,
him. I keep looking. You act like you're walking around Hollywood, like Jonathan.
I'm gonna get that tattooed to my moo-moos, just looking for JTT.
And I have to ask. Besides your photography, you have a very distinct personal style. When did you? I mean, it's your drag. When did you start dressing? Kind of the fantasy every day.
Well, I have a great mom who really encouraged me from, I was wearing dresses and jelly shoes in elementary school. I mean, and I should say both of my parents were really fine with that. But I was really privileged in many ways growing up, including that, it was like, I never questioned that. When people were like, why are you wearing a, like, floor length kimono in, like, high school to, you know, on a Tuesday? Mm-hmm. I just didn't.
Why not?
I don't know. I didn't get, And I grew up in Reno, which is it's a little bigger, but, you know, like the best place you could shop at was, like, Hot Topic. And I was like, I'm not going to go to JCPenney. And, like, I just don't know. I just wasn't like a jeans and t-shirt kid. So, thanks for saying that, because I really only wear black muumuus every day.
But. No, but you're so glam.
Yeah, you are glam. And I remember a couple years ago, we were over at your house and you're like, it was like, oh, I've been playing around with music. And then you played us.
How have we not touched on it?
You played us this track. Like you've been doing it all your life.
In addition to Franz being both an inspiration and beauty in front of and on the on the camera lens.
Both sides of the camera.
In the camera.
Yeah.
Thank you for that.
You also are a fabulous musician with probably some of my favorite music videos I've ever seen.
Oh yeah, the music video for that
was so good. Petunia, so good. Like, it's embarrassing how good you are.
Thank you. Really, that means a lot when people... I have no idea what I'm doing musically. I truly mean that. I don't know, because I have to say this too, coming from a photo background. I really, when I turned 30, I kind of had one of those like, what am I doing with my life? Like, why am I not doing more stuff? Like, I know I'm a photographer and I love what I'm doing, but like, I should just be doing more artistic things. I think it's good for photographers to be in front of the camera every now and again, because it helps you direct your subjects so much better. It always blows my photographers. Oh, I can't get my picture taken. It's like, no, like, you need to know what you're making others suffer through, you know?
Yeah. How do you deal with, like, are you more meticulous or are you harder on yourself when you're in front of the camera? Like, what's your experience of being the self-portrait?
I love myself as Gumby. So I don't know. I don't look at myself as anything. Nobody's a model and everybody's a model. So I think to a photographer, I'm like, I know what you can alter everything nowadays. So, wherever we've segued, sorry, from music. Thank you for appreciating my music. It really just started off as like a, you know, I took a book of poetry that I had been working on. And I was like, how do I turn this
you're also a poet.
Well, anything else? Car repair?
Well, I only had the book because I cut down the tree and made the paper.
You're a true renaissance.
We all write poetry. Come on, we're all fiddly diddly.
Yeah. Several volumes.
Yeah,
several
exactly. Volumes. Yeah.
Scripture, really.
I shouldn't even say poetry. Just we all have ideas and we write them onto paper.
We
call it poetry.
Yes. We write the check. Okay.
Exactly. Yeah. But speaking of Devin Green and her magnificent beau, Ned Douglas, really, it was just friends that were like, encouraged me, that just said, you should turn this into music. And so, I'm just lucky that I'm working with really talented people that I can, you know, really like the first album that I did, I don't know how to read music or, I've never studied anything. So I was being very Enya in the sense that I was doing all of my demos just by layering myself humming in GarageBand. And I was taking all of these to Ned and saying like, okay, like here are the tracks that need to be guitar. And it all sounded like a mess, but, a good producer.
He deciphered it.
Yeah, he was like, totally. And he's very British. And he hates it when I do that. But he was just like, brilliant.
It's so cool to be like, I feel like we have a little coven going on here in LA.
It's a
cool little like group
we
of people.
We do. Like,
it's
there's very famous cool. people, and then there's the people you actually would have the privilege to meet, the people who really like you, who are just creatives, who set the standard for both like the final product. Everything you put out is so like, you know it, you stand by it, you swear by it, the integrity. You know what I mean?
Well, the feeling's mutual with you too. I think it comes down to art for art's sake. There are people who are making work for commercial
integrity.
Yeah, I agree, but it's true. It's true. I mean, what you guys do comes from the heart, and you guys have to go into another dimension to be as crazy as you. You know what I mean? You're not. I don't view you guys as being like commercial artists, even though what you do translates to commercialism well, but I think the core of what you do, neither one of you think about like what will do good commercially. You're just crazy people that are making art, which I really relate to, you know. So
it's got to be fun, man.
It's a good balance, because I'm always trying to sell something on the corner. And she's always kind of like, but I don't want to do that. And so it's a good balance of like, we have to get paid a little bit and actually enjoy it.
Yeah. You have to get paid or else you can't make the fantasy.
You gotta get paid. So speaking of getting paid,
let's take another break.
Oh.
Speaking of getting paid, let's take another break. We are back.
We are back. So speaking of getting paid, what is it? So talk about working for Disney.
Well, I mean, that sentence sounds a lot better than it is. I've only have one piece that's been released by them as of now, even though I have a whole stack of images that I've finished for them that are waiting. Okay. Disney. What do you want to know about
that's
it?
The Maleficent. That's the Maleficent.
That was the first one. You know, I have to say, and I'm saying this with all due love, I wasn't really Disney's cup of tea, so to speak. But I grew up watching Disney films. And when I moved to LA, I was like, I have to do work for Disney. And Disney Fine Art is who I'm signed with.
Okay.
But it's a section of their merchandising where they feature maybe 100 artists worldwide that do different variations of Disney characters. But they don't work with photographers. They only work with illustrators and sculptors and whatnot. And so I went in there with all these big gay ideas. And it took 5 years for them to, I'm not exaggerating,
what?
5 years of back and forth and meetings and give it.
They're probably extremely protective.
They're very protective
of something as old and, like, I don't know, like, I guess what's the word, important to them as like a Sleeping Beauty character.
Yeah. I was referencing stuff, you know, Salvador Dali was one of Disney's best friends, and the stuff that if you look at, like, old from the 50s, like conceptual art of those early Disney films, they were dark and, like, weird as hell. And, that's what I really wanted to tap into, but I have to be careful what I say. I don't know if those ideas are still what is wanted by Disney, but I'm still pushing it as far as I can. And
I mean, looking here, Devin, I mean, the way you shot her and the way it's lit, she's definitely spooky. She's definitely spookier than she's portrayed in the films.
Yeah.
Her face is, it's a little, if you woke up in the night and saw that across the room.
Yeah. Horrifying. Yeah. Devin's, that shoot, by the way, too, was like a 13-hour shoot. The police came because of all the smoke bombs. It was like, that was a good example of, like, you know.
Devin standing there dressed in this.
Really,
like,
and Devin is such a pro, didn't complain once, even though she passed out literally once because the.
You people in the fainting.
I know. Yeah. I know.
Always pulling focus.
Horns were real, and so they weighed so much, and just having weight on your head for that long, and, you know, I was pushing her too, and smoke bombs, sulfur everywhere, and just, it was like a lot.
The knives
in her feet. Yeah, exactly.
And the feet that you bound before the day started.
Yeah, that's beauty standards. Yeah. So
you're such an icon. I just sometimes can't believe we know you.
I know. Oh, that's God, what's funny. You and you're not an asshole. I mean, you know, hear so many horror stories about people with major talent, and it's like you start to think that if anybody's that good, then they have to come with all this, you know, these caveats and baggage.
Oh,
and
God.
Stuff,
but ego will rot you. Ego will start to rot you.
Yeah. Really. Who has time for all that?
Yeah, exactly.
Who has time for all that?
Well, to know you is such a privilege, and to be shot by you is like a whole nother privilege. And I just always can't wait to see what you do next.
Well, let's keep it going, you two.
Yeah. Where can people find you in your work?
Well, you can find me on my website, franzoni.com, or on Instagram at the same name.
And that's S-Z-O-N-Y.
Correct. F-R-A-N-Z-S-Z-O-N-Y.
I'm telling you guys, just go to the website. It's the first thing you're hit with is a gallery view of some of these images. And they will just, I'm not encouraging them to do this, but it would make great phone screensavers.
Absolutely.
Like, these pictures are so beautiful. Look at Candy Ken.
Candy Ken is David.
He's so great. Yeah.
So great.
Matthew.
Yeah, Matthew's fantastic.
Yeah, one of
Have
my
you
favorites.
Shot Violet?
I've shot Violet, yeah. They were, I don't...
She survived.
She survived. Yeah. Violet's fabulous. I did some promo stuff for her tour. I've never shot
that's
her.
The commercial.
Yeah. I've always shot Violet as Violet. I've never really quite taken her as
out
into like Franz world, but I'd love to at some point.
Yeah. When you're Violet, you've already arrived.
Yeah. Yeah. Agreed.
For us, he's more like, what if we got you in a totally different wig and makeup and a completely different outfit?
Okay, what if you look good?
Yeah, I always say that's the, like, spirit of drag is you are a star. We just got to change your height, your voice, your hair, the color of your skin.
Cut my hair.
Well, we love you.
Thank you so much, Franz.
I love you both so much.
Thank you for being here, guys.
Of course.
Bye.
Goodbye.